If you are watching or listening to this episode, you are part of a planet-wide social experiment that is unfolding in real time. This experiment is unprecedented, historically speaking, and it's totalizing, altering the way in which humans have their being in the world and in the way in which they perceive themselves and everything else besides. And the end result of this experiment will be nothing less than a complete renovation of human perceptions, behaviors, and social relations. It may even result in the end of humanity itself, if not by actual annihilation, then by the disintegration of the human soul. Unfortunately, this is not the kind of experiment that you can opt into, and practically speaking, you really can't opt out of it either. Depending on your age, you've either been dragged into it or you were born into it. And most troubling of all, it's an experiment over which humans are increasingly losing control. The social experiment that I'm referring to here is that of the digitally networked environment. To speak metaphorically, all of us now inhabit two worlds, the offline world and the online world. The online world was once a place that we would visit from time to time. It was a tool that we would use for the betterment of our offline lives. Today, it's increasingly becoming less a tool or instrument for use and more a place in which we live and move and have our being. In just the span of a decade, the digital environment has come to utterly dominate and define human life as we know it. It is increasingly becoming the primary environment where we go for our education, where we go to form our beliefs, where we go for our friendships, where we go for our romantic relationships, where we go to be entertained, where we go to be politically informed, and so on. According to ChatGPT, the average American now spends between 6 and 7 hours of their waking lives in the digitally networked environment. Whether we like it or not, we all now find ourselves in the connected digital age. It's an age of global upheaval and incomprehensibly rapid change. The speed at which the digital environment is changing today and the corresponding transformations that it's causing for the human condition in real time is now becoming too fast to measure. And this should really concern us. It should deeply trouble us. The fact that most people are not concerned and not at all troubled by the total dominance of the digital age over every aspect of human life is, I think, a symptom of our being totally immersed in it. Most of us are so attuned to the digitally networked environment that we no longer see it for what it is. We have become the proverbial fish that doesn't realize that it's in water. For most of us, the digital environment has become a kind of lens over our eyes. We no longer see the digital lens for what it is, but rather we see everything else through it. And this, of course, is a grave danger. The digital environment is quite literally shaping our perceptual and our appetitive habits, which in turn is affecting the way that we think about ourselves and the world in which we live. And this, in turn, is affecting our very agency as human beings. Here is a deeply profound truth. As human beings, we are free precisely because we have a rational soul that's endowed with an intellect. Unlike every other animal in this world, humans alone have understanding. We can form judgments. We can engage in reasoning. The intellect is the source of our free will. So, to the degree that our perceptions and appetites and ultimately our thinking are being habitually shaped by the digital environment, apart from our conscious awareness, to that same degree, we are surrendering our free agency as human beings. So what do we do about it? Well, utterly unplugging, permanently detaching from the digital environment in a kind of Luddite reaction against it is not really a practical option, nor does it seem to be particularly wise, in my opinion. The digital age, after all, is our age, whether we like it or not. So it's imperative that we come to terms with it and develop a properly human relation to it. The question of our time then is this: how do we navigate the digital environment without surrendering our agency and even our very humanity in the process? And this is a big question for which there is no easy answer. However, I do think that there's a clear starting point, an absolutely necessary first step towards getting at the answer and properly ordering ourselves to the digital environment. We must understand the danger. We must be consciously aware of the ways in which the digital age poses a threat to the human good. So with this in mind, I'm launching a series that I'm calling The Dangers of the Digital Age. Over time and periodically, I plan to contribute episodes to this series as I myself come to grips with the difficulties of the digitally networked environment. In this inaugural episode, I want to do two things. First, I want to trace in broad strokes the rise and ascendancy of the digital age to give you a feel for just how rapidly the digital environment has changed and is currently changing, and the way in which the rate of change is only accelerating. And second, I want to present what I take to be a basic fact about the development of technology in general, and digital technology in particular. A fact that makes technological development inherently dangerous. All right, so let's briefly talk about where we are and how we got here. Sociologists generally mark the advent of the digital age as beginning in the late 20th century. Although the theoretical and infrastructural origins go back to the 1970s, the ascendancy of the properly digital age really took place in the 1990s with the Internet Revolution. Since then, it has unfolded in three general stages. The first stage I'll call the information phase, which began in the 90s and lasted into the first half of the first decade of the 21st century. This stage is defined by two primary technologies, desktop computing and the World Wide Web, which was the proto-internet. In this period of the digital age, the internet was primarily a tool for accessing and producing information and for global communication. That is, the internet was largely a kind of digital repository of information and a communication system that one could access by logging onto it. It wasn't yet a social environment. The second stage I'll call the social media phase, which began between 2004 and 2006 and extended to the early 2020s. This stage was also marked by the emergence of a couple of novel technologies, namely the social media platform and the smartphone. Social media platforms, initially here we're talking about YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, changed the nature of the internet by facilitating user-generated content. No longer just a place for the storage and access of information, the internet began to be a medium of human identity and social life. The smartphone revolution took place on the heels of the social media revolution. The iPhone came out in 2007 and the Android in 2008. Smartphones provided the technological means for constant connectivity. No longer was it necessary to log on to the internet from a localized desktop computer to access the networked digital environment. Humans could now be connected, could now be online, virtually everywhere and all the time. It's hard to overemphasize the seismic shift that rocked human culture in this period. With the rise of social media, suddenly every sphere of human life, from identity to relationships, communication, work, politics, intimacy, commerce, began to be captured, organized, and mediated by digital platforms. And with the rise and widespread proliferation of smartphones, digital life became utterly pervasive. Almost overnight, our offline lives began to be defined and structured by our online lives. Many sociologists believe that we have now entered a third act of the digital age. It's what I'll call here the AI phase. The era of AI began in the early 2020s and is just in its infancy. The technology that defines this new era is that of machine learning, automation, and generative artificial intelligence. Today, more and more of the content on the internet is being created by AI, and more of the interactions between online accounts are involving AI bots. This phase of the digital age has the potential to be the most disruptive force that human beings have ever endured. To see why, let's take a step back to the social media phase for a moment. As we saw, this stage was characterized by user-generated content and constant connectivity. one of the novel features that emerged during this period was that of datafication. The digital platforms that provided the infrastructure for social media were also designed to quantify human activity in digital form, that is, in the form of data. Datafication, in turn, made possible algorithmic governance. With the data collected from users, digital platforms like Facebook and Twitter and TikTok and Amazon developed algorithmic systems designed to curate and shape what individual users would see on those platforms. Algorithmically delivered digital content was being used by digital platforms to influence and to control the values and the behaviors of their users. And over time, the algorithms got better and the user data became more abundant, thus allowing for more effective control of the human psyche and of human behavior. Of course, what social media platforms wanted most of all was for their users to stay on them. And so the algorithms that they developed were specifically designed to be addictive. One obvious example of this was the transition of algorithmic preference on social media sites from highly informational content in long form, like this, to highly entertaining content in short form, delivered in continuous succession. We've all experienced the highly addictive modern social phenomenon of doom scrolling. Media platforms, whether it's social media like TikTok or entertainment media like Netflix or commerce media like Amazon, are getting better at capturing our attention and at captivating our attention. In the current AI phase, much of what was once done by human beings is now being outsourced to autonomous computational systems. Algorithmic governance, which was once entirely under human control, is now increasingly under the control of artificial intelligence. It is now largely automated systems that interpret, predict, and shape human behavior online. The digital environment is transitioning before our very eyes from a domain of human-mediated interaction to a domain of machine-mediated interaction. Now think about what this means. Online human behavior and offline human behavior, as a result, is now being predicted, influenced, and even governed by machine learning systems. Consider how far we've come in just 30 years. In this short period, the digitally networked environment has gone from being an instrument for use by human agency to being an instrument to control human agency. We've gone from being users of technology to being used by technology. The digital environment has gone from being a mirror or a reflection of human culture and society to a producer of human culture and society. The old adage has never been more urgent. We shape our tools, and then our tools shape us. The obvious question we should be asking ourselves in this modern digital age is this: what is our technology shaping us into? What will happen to our humanity as it's progressively absorbed into the digital environment? I don't think that it takes extended and deep reflection to realize that whatever it is that is guiding the technological advance of the digital age, it is decidedly not a concern for the well-being of the human soul. Our immersion into the totalizing digital environment has not made us better humans. It has not, on the whole, caused us to flourish as human beings. It's clearly not intended to do that. So here's the basic and fundamental fact that we need to understand if we're going to navigate the digital environment without losing our proper humanity, without losing our souls in the process. Technology is progressing with indifference to the properly human good. But if this is the case, if the goal, end, or purpose of digital technology is not the properly human good or the flourishing of the human soul, then what is it? Well, as several philosophers and sociologists from the 20th century have pointed out, technological advancement in the modern age has taken on a life of its own, and it's now developing according to its own internal logic. In his highly influential and prescient book, The Technological Society, written in 1954, the French sociologist Jacques Ellul wrote that once technological advancement becomes society's highest value, as it has in the modern world, technology will evolve independently and autonomously, guided only by the technological imperatives of efficiency and optimization. Alul warns that when the autonomous internal necessity of technology takes hold in a society, what can be done will be done. And this, regardless of whether it should be done. Indeed, the rapid pace at which technology is developing today hardly affords any time at all to even pause long enough to pose the question as to whether it should be developed. By the time we consider the question, the new technology is already upon us. I hope that you can see the danger here. If our technological society in general and the digitally networked environment in particular are developing without concern for the properly human good, then unreflective immersion in it will be hazardous to our proper humanity. If we allow ourselves to become absorbed in the digital environment, our perceptions, appetites, and behaviors will be subject to its formation. In the process, we will gradually lose our agency over ourselves. We will be shaped by the tool of our own making. So what's at stake here is nothing less than the disintegration and the fragmentation of the human soul. Anyway, these are my initial musings on the dangers of the digital age. That's all for now. As always, let me know what you think in the comments below.